Praise the Lord. There's no friend like Jesus. Ain't that right? Amen. To save us. Hey, no friend can do that, can they? They might have saved you from different things, but there's none that can save our soul like Christ. There's no friend like Him. No Father, no Savior like Him. If you will, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I'm going to talk about there's no friend like Jesus. Before I was reading this about a grizzly bear, before I get to the scripture and talk about some friendship, I want to share this real quick. Walking through the forest, an atheist hears a rustling in the bushes. Turning, he sees a massive grizzly charging towards him. He runs as fast as he can, but trips over a stump and falls. Most of us would probably do that too, wouldn't we? As the bear raises a huge paw to strike, the atheist screams, "God, help me!" Time freezes, the bear becomes immobile, the forest is silent, and the river stops running. Then the atheist hears a powerful voice, "You have denied my existence for years, taught others I don't exist, and credited my creation to a cosmic accident. Why should I help you? It would be hypocritical to ask to show me mercy," said the atheist. "But perhaps you can make this bear a Christian." At that, the noise of the forest resumes, the river starts running again, and the bear drops to its knees, brings its paws together, and says, "Lord, for this food which I'm about to receive, I'm truly thankful." So that bear became a Christian. If I ever see a bear, though, I will run. So thank you, Brother Billy, for this opportunity to share the message today. Thank God there's no friend like Him, that we have freedom beyond this world that we can comprehend, that we can even fathom. We came in, as Joe Barry is saying, it's hard for our minds to even to comprehend or wrap ourselves around the love of Christ and the love He has for us. So as we have friendship, I got a few friends today. I'm not going to make them sing that came, and others got friends today, and thank y'all for coming. But friendship is a mutual bond between people when you meet somebody or an affection you have. Sometimes you never know. You go through life and you meet somebody and you become really good friends with somebody at times. And, you know, God has a, it's amazing how He does that, how He brings people together for the friendship. And, you know, every friend has a unique, quality. You know, some are funny, some are loud, some are silent. Some like to watch movies, some like to read. Some like to go to Bojangles, some like to go to Popeyes. They're still my friends. But a friend is someone there you can count on, someone you can talk to, someone there in the good and bad, no matter what you go through. You know, someone that cares enough that they respect, and not only for young people, because we talk about this, but they respect who you are in Christ, that they're not going to try to conform you to a certain way. A true friend will respect who you are in Christ and not try to change your way. And now, you know, as Christians, we do want to share the gospel with the people and try to change them from the world. But, you know, as friends, if you have a true friend, they're going to respect your stance and who you are in Christ. But, you know, some of them, like I said, you got some of those loud friends and then the quiet friends. Anybody got them? How about those friends that you haven't seen in 2 years, but you can pick right back up where you left off? Isn't that awesome? That you can pick right back up. And there's some friends that you talk to so much, and you know you have somebody to talk to and have a shoulder to cry on. And there's some that you talk so much to that y'all laugh so good you cry from laughing. So you have, you know, all kind of friends. I can go on and on about different kind of friendships. So we're thankful for friends. We're thankful for that bond. And if you're saved today, you have a friend in Jesus. A friend that He calls us friends. Isn't that amazing? And in a few minutes, I'm going to get to it. But He calls us His friends if we're saved. Now, if you're not, you're an enemy. You're an enemy of what we share. You know, many people are against it. You know, you go out and share things. But, you know, you feel lonely. Sometimes I've seen people, they're surrounded by lots of friends, lots of people, but they still get lonely. Praise God with Him. He's there in the good, the bad, and the ugly. That might be a movie title, but He's there in the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's there when you don't even understand what's going on. But when you wake up in the morning, actually, He's there before you wake up in the morning. Isn't that amazing to have a friendship like that? He sticks close, the best friend. He walks with us, listens to us, talks with us, speaks with us, never forsake us. In Proverbs 18:24, it says, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And they're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The have friends, we think about friendship. You have to show yourself friendly. You know, if somebody doesn't show themselves friendly, most of the time people, I'm not going to get around that person. So there's a part to show yourself friendly, and there's one that sticks closer than a brother. There's actually friends that do stick close. And I said Jesus sticks closer than anyone. So here in John chapter 15 is the scripture I want to read and talk about friendship. There's multiple different passages, but this one stood out the most. As I went through and thinking and praying about it. So in John chapter 15, in verse 10, I'm going to read 10 to 16. But Jesus, before this, he is talking about how he's the vine and we're the branches and how we abide in him and bear fruit. So verse 10 says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 11 in John 15, verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." When I was thinking about that, for our joy to remain full, and we're talking about God's word this month, it is through God's word that it fills us and helps us. There's been times when I get away from it and I feel like I'm dragging spiritually and physically, but it's something about keeping God's commandments and abiding in that and loving him and his word. And you think about it, if we get away, Satan at times will show us. That's the good thing about God's word. He shows us what's going to happen. We go this path, he reveals what's going to happen if we go. Satan, though, however, if we get away from God's word, he shows us one way, and he distorts it and gets it all confusing and say, hey, if you go this way, this is going to happen. It's okay. And so your joy not be full. You see one side if we start going that way or going after the flesh at times. But John 15, 13, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You think about life. This is one of, we have a lot of possessions, we have a lot of friends, we have a lot of things, but life is one of the most valuable possessions that we have. Do y'all agree? That's one of the most valuable things that we have. So to think about this, for a man to lay down his life for his friends, that is the greatest sacrifice ever. Now, I know we have military and people is constantly laying their life on the line, but could you lay your life down for your friend? That, you know, if they're here today or not here today, could you lay your life down? You know, could you lay your life down for them if it came? That's a tough thing. We lay our life down for Christ. You know, the one that came and laid a life for us first. Now, for love, there's been, you know, think about love. I was just thinking about that, greater love. There's so many different definitions. There's so many things. And, of course, the 1 Corinthians, you know, it's long-suffering. It's definitely long-suffering. And I'm pretty sure Heather, I don't know if she's in here, she can attest to that, can't you? Amen. But it's long-suffering, patient, kind. But for love, like I said, we do not understand this love. The world will try to show a love. I mean, just turn on the TV or you go out and you talk to people and you can see where they're going with just what love means sometimes if you just ask them. Not that I go out and say, hey, what does love mean? But sometimes you can tell what people love or what's on their mind, what's on their heart. There's a few years ago, I was seeing this movement. Has anybody heard the Love Wins movement? It's a false movement. Has anybody heard that? There's been books and stuff written. So there's people saying, hey, love wins. And this is kind of like just the thought of the world that there's no heaven or there's no hell, but there's only heaven, that everybody goes to heaven. Now, that changes love up a lot when you start writing false stuff like that and saying, hey, there's no such thing as hell. Because God's word, as we talk about this month, there's a heaven and there's a hell. It's plainly written. Hell's talked about a lot, and even it enlarges itself. So this type of love that these books are going out, and it's getting more momentum, is false and actually has people strayed at times. But you think about love, there's got to be a foundation, and that's God's truth. God's truth shows us what love is. It's the foundation that gives love meaning. And like I said, we're never going to truly understand the love he has for us. Those that have love for friends, or maybe the love that we have for God, it's more than feelings. Like true friendship, true love is more than feelings. It's a commitment. I'm just like a marriage. It's a commitment. And it goes even farther and deeper than feelings that we can even examine or even comprehend. Now, there are some feelings. I'm not saying when you think about these songs and you think about how much God loves us and how small and wicked we are, that gets you pretty hyper, right? Isn't that pretty awesome if you think about that? And we try to just wrap our mind around this one verse that he loved us. And I know they're talking about Israel, and they walked through what he went through. If you can wrap your mind and just try to think a little bit about that, his love, it's astonishing. You can't even comprehend it. I was driving down the road one day, and I don't know about how I was just thinking about eternity and God and how much he loves us. I feel like I was about to have an out-of-body experience. I was like, hopefully a state trooper ain't coming by. So hopefully Marty ain't come get me. But I was thinking about true love. It's not found in this world. And we cannot truly love people, ourselves, or our spouse without the love of Christ. It is the power of Christ that transforms our minds, our hearts, everything about us that shows us how to comprehend, to show love. Apart from Christ is a love confused that has no foundation. True love is found in Christ alone, and I'm thankful, so thankful, that he showed us that by laying his life down for us. So thankful. Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. He is talking to his disciples at that point, but the same for us. He says in verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Friendship is not a one-way street. It's not say, hey, save me, and now I'm going to do this. And he's not sitting here. You can probably say, hey, you got to do this and this and this and this. No, when he saves us, we're going to have a desire to do things that God wants us to do. We're going to have desires to assemble together and the desire to fellowship, desire to read his word. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. He's not saying, hey, take this. You're not saying, hey, if you're my friend, you got to take me to Bojangles twice a week. Ain't that right, Michael? No, I'm just kidding. That's how I won't pick on my friends too much. But I won't get them to sing. But you know, that's the thing. God's not going to be demanding to us everything. Salvation, he doesn't force us in a corner to accept him. There's nothing that we can do. But when you hear his word, when you hear his truth and know what he's done, that he's loved the world so much that he would lay his life down, the creator of this world to come into to flesh. That's like I said, I can't even fathom. And I tried to explain it to one person one day. I said, that's like us going into an ant's body trying to share a message. And that don't even do justice. Can you imagine that? The creator of all to do that for us, to come flesh, to feel everything that we felt, yet without sin. That's amazing. You're talking about love for friends, that he would come and love us and save us and set us apart and call us friends. But it's not a one-way street. When he saves us, it's a two-way street. We've got to do things. He does a lot for us. He is always faithful. He is a faithful friend no matter what. He's there in the good and bad. He's there when we feel like we've lost everything or we feel hopeless. And this is an act of love on our behalf. When he calls us friends, it's an act of love on our behalf to do and to want to get his word and to want to do what he, and to go out and share his word, not just hide it, but share it. In verse 15 of John 15:15, he says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does. So he's telling disciples here, hey, I'm not just calling you servants, but I have called you my friends. I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Aren't you glad that he reveals things to us and that we're not in the dark, that we know we deserve to be called servants, and we are servants, but he also calls us friends. He goes a step farther and calls us friends. We know who's in control. We know what's going on, and if you don't, just pray about it. If you feel confused in your life, go to the best friend, the friend above all friends, the King of Kings, and the same thing applies for us. He calls us his friends, and you know, it's a life of sacrifice. We may not physically give our life, but in some ways, spiritual at times, it does feel physical at times. It feels physical and spiritual. But, you know, to really, in order, if you think about it, and Ecclesiastes talks about there's a time for everything. Sometimes, in order to gain, you have to lose. Sometimes lose a lot. But for the glory of God, it's worth it. He says in verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Yeah, we would never have chosen him. There's no way. If you think about it, before you came to Christ, we were fine where we were. But he came and chose us. and convicted us. I'm thankful for growing up in church, for a family that brought me up in church. I'm thankful for that. I'm so blessed. But there's so many that's not. As I was saying before, a couple weeks ago when we were announcing, there's people at the schools, there's people right in our neighborhood that don't even know what the Word of God is. But He has chosen us. We haven't chosen Him. But praise God, because He has chosen us, what will we do with this power He has given us, that He has saved us and set us apart? He wants us to bring forth fruit, good fruit, and only through Him and praying and seeking Him. That whosoever shall ask of my Father my name, he may give it. I'm glad that he made the first choice. And you think about the descriptions of friendship I gave a while ago. That's nothing. I was just reading through some of these verses and him laying his life down for us and calling us friends. I mean, because one time there's many of us that could almost, we could have spit on God. We turn our back sometimes on family, turn our back on friends, turn our back on everything, but God still saved most of us here. But Jesus gives us hope that no friend can give us. I'm not sure everybody's heart in here, but at this time, I just want you to search it and think about it. He gives us hope beyond that we can even fathom, as I said. He's preparing a place for those here today that are His friends, that are saved. And for those that don't, you don't have to step out today. If you're wondering, hey, I don't think I'm saved. So I know with all the visitors and stuff, there's just a chance. Just know this, there's one that loves you more than anything in this world. There's one that went all the way, that he was there in the garden and blood, almost sweat drops of blood, and medical doctors said for that to happen, his heart had to literally come to a point where it exploded almost. The anguish he faced in the flesh, that he knew that what he was about to face for us. But praise God, it was the Father's will. He loved us so much, we can't even comprehend the beatings and the mockeries that he faced. His despair at times, it looked like he was in despair, it gave us hope. Those thorns they put on him and his blood poured down, he's bringing us royalty through that. He gives us life and freedom. You know, we live in a country that's pretty free. Most of us are pretty relaxed or free. But the real question is, are you free spiritually? We can have all the freedom physically. But have you met Jesus? Has he come? Have you called out to him? And has he given you eternal life? And that's the good thing about Christians. We don't have to wait to receive eternal life. It's a present possession. The moment we get saved, it starts right there. And his brother, the song, and Brother Jeff Butley, he is the way. He's the truth. I've had friends, I don't think they're here today, but I will tell them there's only one way. I've had many that come and say there's multiple ways, but there's only one way to Jesus. To God is through Jesus. And he is life. He'll give you a life. I'm not saying it's to be perfect, but a life a different than you can even imagine. It's not perfect. You know, you have all these people that say, hey, if you come to Jesus, everything's being made. You have me. No, there's obedience. There's sacrifice to that. But let me tell you that joy, as I read it a while ago, your joy can be full in the midst of opposition. In the midst of heartache. I've lost friends, a dad a long time ago. I've lost family members. He is a true life giver and the true hope beyond anything. I'm glad because there was one time where I was a friend to this world. So my question today, are you a friend of Jesus or a friend to this world? It's so, you know, the easy thing to do is be friend to this world. It's the easy way out and try to please everybody or do this or that and not try to step on toes. And it's tough. Even as Christians, I know it's tough. But where's your friendship with God today? Are you being a faithful friend, or is he doing all the work? You know, many of us don't want friends. Sometimes you get in a friendship, and you feel like, man, this person's doing all the work. They're paying for all the Bojangles. But sometimes, you know, it happens. Sometimes you're in friendships or relationships, and it feels like you're all doing the work. Now, God's doing all the work, but where are we at? Are we making it a one-way street or a two-way street? He is faithful. He is forgiven. Remember that. So praise God. But the only way we're righteous if we put our trust in the righteous one. He is real. He is remarkable. If you're saved today, you know how real he is and how remarkable. And it's hard to explain to the world. They think sometimes we're just going crazy. Like, they say they're friends of Jesus and friends of God, and man, what's going on? But you know what? For us, as we read through, as Jeff was reading a while ago, man, we think about the inheritance that God has given, what he has is ours, and what we have is his too. But he has set the example for us. He has ran that race. He has set the talking about friendship and Savior and Lord and gone before us. And we see that there's nothing impossible for him. So today, as you're examining your hearts, in a few moments, I'm going to close, and I'm going to call Brother Billy to do an invitation. But examine your hearts now, because we're not guaranteed. We're not guaranteed to have another breath. I've had friends when I was in high school that would die. Sometimes people think they have all the time in the world, like I have a few more days. No, we're not guaranteed another day. We're actually not guaranteed 2 minutes from now or a second from now. But has Jesus touched your life? Have you called on him as Lord and Savior? He's a friend above friends. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's by your side. That gave all so we can have all. So we can have an inheritance beyond this world. That everything we see is temporary. Everything we fade in. You know, sometimes you might see a friend 3 years. After 3 years, you'll be like, whoa, you look different now. You look a little different. Everything's fading. But what God has laid up for us will never fade. Nobody can touch. No man can alter. And praise God for that. What he has stored up for us is amazing. And I'm glad that he would call us friends. I'm so thankful and glad and amazed and blessed. And if you will you close your eyes? I'm going to call Brother Billy up. And I just want you to search your hearts. If you have a friend, pray for him. If they don't know God, pray for him. I'll be up here. I'll stay up here and sit near the front. If somebody, I would love to pray for somebody. But will you search your hearts? If you're not able to call Jesus your friend, would you today? Would you call on him and know that he laid his life down for you?